Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and it's time to get the grills going here. Mad Dog and Merrill, my guest today. Fun talking with them about grilling whenever they're on. They entertain and educate grillers through their personal appearances, their TV show, Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin', and their cookbooks. And today we're going to focus on grilling with herbs and veggies, but hey, we can talk about all kinds of things that you're grilling. Maybe we can talk about charcoal versus gas. We usually have that little argument when I have them with us on the show. We have some time for you to talk about maybe your favorite way to prepare veggies or maybe your favorite recipe. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Merrill, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back, Larry. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, great to be with you. And Mad Dog, are you there?
Oh, of course I'm here, Larry. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Glad he showed up.
Well, you know, I thought you were going to say he's only half there, but...
Merrill's half in the bag.
There you go.
Well, you know, when we think about grilling, you know, mostly meat comes to mind right off the bat, but I think that's changing a little bit. Have you noticed a shift maybe toward more veggies?
You know, absolutely. People are grilling more and more vegetables. You know, in a perfect world, if you spent the three big months of summer we have and you take vegetables and good protein and you grill them, you'll be healthier by the end of the summer, I'll guarantee you. And vegetables are delicious. And when you keep them in mind for planting, I mean, green beans and asparagus, of course, are the first ones to come up, and green beans are phenomenal on the grill. And, you know, everybody has this big hype about the royal marriage.
Yeah.
The true royal marriage is fresh grilled asparagus with shrimp.
Oh, we got that right.
Oh, that's now... I love to grill asparagus. I haven't grilled green beans, though. What? How do you do asparagus when you grill?
You know, I take asparagus and I put about a pound and a half in a Ziploc baggie. I'll find some fresh dill, and not quite in season, but I'll find it at the grocery store. Fresh dill, dice it up, put it inside that baggie, squeeze a whole orange over the top, and then I glisten it with just a little bit of olive or sunflower oil from Wisconsin. Let it marinate for an hour or two. Maybe put a little gram of hazels of ours in there. Yeah. Let it marinate for about an hour. And literally, you just pick it up. You place it across the grates of the grill. 2 to 3 minutes on one side. Give it a little roll in 2 to 3 minutes. And it's off the grill and onto your plate.
Boy, that sounds good.
It's delicious. It is delicious. And that's another fine use for herbs, you know. I know people don't grow a lot of dill, but when later in the season, you can add maybe a little bit of chives in there or fresh thyme that'll give a little bite of pepper to it.
So are you guys working more with herbs, or have you always worked with, I'm sure you've always worked with herbs to some extent, but spices and herbs?
Oh, herbs for a long time, but I mean, especially when you get fresh herbs, you know, like if you take, last night, matter of fact, I just did some grilled tomatoes on the grill, you know, and then, you know, using some fresh basil, if you like, or fresh oregano and mozzarella cheese. You know, the flavor of fresh herbs is just phenomenal.
We are talking today with Mad Dog and Merrill, and looking forward to your comments about grilling or your questions. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Love to hear from you. Now, I want to go back to green beans for just a minute. You wouldn't be having them on the grill for a long time, would you? What would you do with green
beans? Green beans, you can do the same gosh darn thing as you did the asparagus. But for me, for green beans, it's if you want to use some nice fresh herbs, I'd also squeeze a little lemon, a little lime, put them in a Ziploc bag, a little lemon, a little lime. There again, you know, the fresh basil, the fresh oregano would work well in there. Thyme would be wonderful. Add a little bit of garlic in there if you'd like, and some seasoning of some sort. And seriously, just marinate them for a little bit, you know, because it only takes want the flavor of it. And there again, there's a couple ways to do it. There's these grill mats out in the market that you can put them on, the grill plates you can put them on, or you can just carefully, the same as asparagus, shuffle them around so that they lay across the grates of the grill. And you're right, Larry, it's 2 to 3 minutes, a quick little turn if you can of with a spatula easily, and another 3 to 4 minutes, and they're done. And they are delicious. They, honest to goodness, any vegetable that comes off the grill individually, rather than a stock pot with pork hocks or something, I mean, you're getting the true flavor of the vegetables, and they are phenomenal. They really are.
I don't know. I know when you do grill vegetables, it does seem to bring out the sugar, and some of them, at least, they taste sweeter to me.
Carrots. Yeah. Meryl does the best carrots in the world.
Well, I was just thinking about that. It got me craving. I think that's what I'm going to have tonight. But grilled carrots are just phenomenal on the grill. You've just got to make sure that they're oiled a little bit. You don't even really have to oil them. But grill them just like you would a hot dog. And yeah. I'll tell you, the flavor and the sugars just really come out, and they're just absolutely excellent.
Yeah, you vegans out there, you can use carrots instead of a hot dog.
Put them in a hot dog bun, eh?
Right, you got it. You're all set.
Well, you know, the other one is we've always talked about everything single time because I love beets on the grill. And beets are another one like carrots where they really shine once they're on the grill.
That sugar content in those beets really pop. They really, really do. And you know, if you catch the beets when they're the size of a regular hardball baseball, or smaller rather than the larger ones, you know. When you catch them to that size, you just wash them up a little bit, glisten them with a little oil, and you toss them right on the grill, and they char on the outside. And when you cut into them, you know that, Larry, that the steam just rolls, and they shine on the inside, and they're beet red.
Yeah.
And they are phenomenal. Big tab of Wisconsin butter, and you're in heaven.
I got that right. Yeah.
Well, honest to goodness.
Dave Potrat's our engineer today. His mouth is watering, and so is mine.
ask Dave if he likes Brussels sprouts.
Do you like Brussels sprouts, Dave? He said, maybe. I love Brussels sprouts myself.
He's never had them on the grill.
Steve, never had them on the grill. Well, how do you grill Brussels sprouts?
Honestly, they're little cabbages, and the same thing. You throw them in a Ziploc baggie. I slosh a little Italian dressing or create your own with a little bit of oil in there and other vinegars and flavors. Just to glisten them, you know, is all you're trying to do, or just put a little oil in. But anyway, they go right on top of the grates of the grill, medium direct heat, and you just roll them around for 15 or so minutes, and they char on the outside, and don't overcook them. You just want them nice and tender, but, you know, it's kind of like when you pierce them with a toothpick and they go right through. It's a little cabbage, and they taste so sweet and delicious. David will be doing cartwheels for him. He really will.
Well, I tell you what, my daughter, Emily, who's 14, I am so fortunate because she, like me, we love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
So I can grill them, and I know a lot of kids don't seem to like them. I don't know why.
Yeah, put them on the grill and butter them up, and, you know, it's an acquired flavor, and if you don't start them young on certain things, they won't be an acquired flavor for them, so... You did a good job. I don't care what other people say, Larry. You did a good job.
You, Larry. You did good.
You did good.
Well, let's take some calls. By the way, you can join in, too, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Mari in Madison. Hi, Mari. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I was hearing you guys talk about grilling things that are sweet, like the beets and the sugar, and I'm a huge fan of pineapple, but I haven't really grilled much in the past, so I was just wondering what your guys' favorite pineapple combinations or tips and tricks are.
Oh, pineapples are just absolutely fantastic on the grill. I definitely just like mine completely just sliced. Oil them just a little bit so they don't stick on the grate and just top them with a little brown sugar. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to turn this over to Mad Dog. Something that he hasn't done for quite a while is his famous pineapple boat.
Oh.
Yeah, boy, that goes the 40 minutes left in the show.
There you go.
But Meryl is absolutely right. You go get a medley of fruits like peaches, plums, and pears, and apples, and grapes, and you bring home one of each or three of each, you know, and a bunch of grapes, and you get a nice sweet pineapple, nice and yellow, and you slice it down the middle, two halves. Take out the hard center core, hollow out the center, dice the rest of that pineapple up, put it inside the boat, put some diced up apples, some plums in there, some bananas in there, some grapes in there. You put a little brown sugar over the top. You put some coconut over the top. You melt a little butter over the top of that. You just dribble a calf or two of dark rum, and then you put it on the grill indirect for about a half hour. And it's just the butter goes to the bottom, bubbles back up again, and it's done. You scoop it over vanilla ice cream. What can you say?
Oh, what do you think, Mari?
Good. I'm like, my mouth is watering. I'm on break, and I haven't had lunch yet. And all I can think about is grilling now.
Yeah. As we're talking, if people want to go eventually later on today, go to maddogandmerrill.com, all the great cities of Wisconsin and surrounding. You can find where our television show airs each and every week. There's a map. It's going to air by September nationally on 42 stations throughout the nation, and it airs throughout all Canada right now. So we've really been blessed this last couple of years. So.
Yeah, it is a fun show. You guys have a good time.
We taped. We got. I don't know if you knew this, but it snowed a little bit earlier than April. So we got a little behind. But we've taped like five new shows that just started airing in May. And the new shows for a whole new season. We're going to tape 26 shows this year. And we just had some phenomenal shoots already, and we're just on the road. You know, we're going to end up in Fargo in September, taping a couple shows down over there, and it's just going to be a hoot of a time this year.
Well, I'm looking at your events, and you guys are going to be tired. You've got a lot going on. I'm just looking at June here. Sort of May 23rd, 25th, 27th, June 1st and 6th, 9th, 10th, 16th, 5th, 17th, 18th, and these are all at different places.
Yeah.
Keep this up, but it's been really good. It's sort of really nice to go out to see all the fans that really have supported us through the years and to really travel all over the state. Of course, really obviously all over the Midwest and everything, but it's really nice meeting everybody. And we just got done doing Grill Fest in the St. Paul, Minnesota, and it was really nice seeing people coming out and still remember us from,
Rib Fest in Eau Claire last week. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you really are making me hungry. Let's take another call here. Will in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Will.
I'm hungry too, Larry. I was going to paint a house today, but I think I'm going to go back and just cook and eat. So
there you go.
Hey, when you were talking about grilling pineapple, I had a combination I wanted to share with everybody. Grill a pineapple, and next to it, put a burger, not rare or medium rare, but just a little bit over medium well. Put those two together on a fresh whole wheat bun, and man, you're going to orbit. It's just wonderful.
Oh,
yeah, grill the slice of pineapple first and glaze it with a little butter and brown sugar and then put it on the burger. Man, that is good, isn't it?
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Will.
Yeah.
Go back. Now, you should be doing some painting, though. Do some painting.
Basting. We call it basting, not painting.
There you go.
I baste the rooms every year at home.
Oh, man. Troy and Baraboo, we'll go to you next. Hi, Troy.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell Mad Dog and Merrill, in 2005, summer of 2005, they grilled out for us in Clintonville, Bravo Battery, first the 120th.
You bet.
Before we deployed. And I just wanted to tell you how much, just that small act, we really appreciate it. I certainly appreciate it. I think about it all the time when I hear you guys on the radio.
Oh,
you know, every time I go through Clintonville, which is quite a bit because we're from New London, it almost brings a tear, especially with the construction that went on there the last couple of years, and you had to go past you guys all the time where your unit was deployed from. We were blessed to be able to do that, and I'm glad you made it back safe and sound.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Thank you, Troy. Thanks very much for calling. Talking grilling today with our grillologist, Mad Dog and Merrill. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer. Dave Potratz, our engineer. Right here on the Ideas Network. Light up the grill. It's time to do some grilling with Mad Dog and Merrill, our grilling buddies. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Callers online, and you can join in too. I think there's one open line at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Matthew in Centuria next. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We're needing to upgrade our old charcoal grill, and I was wondering if there are any advantages to the new wood pellet grills that I've seen out there as opposed to the charcoal.
All right. What do you guys think?
Well, the pellet grills are a hot, hot item, no pun intended. I mean, a lot of people have them. They're great. It's really nice. It's where you can just go ahead and set the temperature, and you're ready to cook. And it has been a big thing on the pellet grills. You're going to see them definitely grow more and more and more. Still a charcoal diehard. We have the pellet grills also. Love cooking on them. But the pellet grills are really good.
And you might want to check out the new, they're Komodo, the green eggs and things like that. You know, they use a natural lump charcoal, which are really good too. So I'd read up on things, but the pellet grills are good. Hang on, if you get a pellet grill, not that there's anything wrong with them at all, because they do the best job in the world for 99% of the stuff, but hang on to a grill you can fire up if you really want to sear some steaks.
You got that right.
Yeah, I've got a very expensive gas grill, and I've got two pretty good-sized Weber charcoal grills, and I wind up using the charcoal grills about 98% of the time. I like the taste. If I'm going to do a turkey or something that needs to be on longer, then I might switch over to the gas side.
Yeah. People are entertaining, though, more and more at home, and they are getting the pellet grills. And people are winning competition with pellet grills. There's nothing wrong with them whatsoever. You know, the Komodo green eggs, the big green eggs, we do a lot of work with them. They're part of our television show, and we love those grills. Check everything out and build yourself a big old outdoor kitchen and get one of everything.
That's what I would do. I really would.
I'd like to get one of those green egg grills.
Yeah.
Not that I need another one, but another grill. But
oh, those are just absolutely fantastic. You know, you could smoke ribs if you want, like at 225 degrees, or you could fire that baby up to 800 degrees and grill steaks on it. You know, pizza, that's a fantastic grill.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, Jill in Janesville has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Jill.
Morning, Jill.
Hi. Morning. I am wondering if you guys can share some tips on how to grill zucchini without it getting soggy.
Sure. It's fast and furious and don't overcook it. My favorite zucchini recipe is to slice it in half lengthwise and slice it again in quarters so you have pickle-shaped spears. I roll it in a little Italian dressing, roll it in some seasoned Parmesan cheese, and place it on the grill, peeling or skin side down, and simply toast it on that until everything sets a little bit, and then you can turn it if you'd like to, but the Parmesan is delicate. So I just put it on the grill for about 15 minutes or so on a medium-low heat direct, and honest to goodness, it's the most delicious zucchini in the world. It really is.
I'll vouch for that, too.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever done eggplant?
Yeah, I love eggplant.
Meryl does.
I know. Mad Dog's not a big fan. I love her, but I love eggplant on that. And I will just go ahead and use a little bit of oil. Once in a while, I even do it with even some teriyaki sauce on there, or even use
what's
Italian dressing if
the,
you like.
What's the breading you use? Don't you use a crumb breading once in a while?
Yeah, usually I use like breadcrumbs, fresh breadcrumbs on that. Just coat that in there. And you know, that's one thing people don't realize is that you can use breadcrumbs. I use breadcrumbs all the time to do like Sicilian steaks and things like that. But go ahead and just a little bit of oil, breadcrumbs, and just grill it up. Only about 2 to 3 minutes on each side. It'll slice the eggplant, you know, maybe about a half of an inch. It comes out great.
Yep.
There we go.
I fold it over. Whenever Meryl makes the eggplant, I fold it over so it looks like a pair of lips, and I turn it like it's sitting in my mouth, and I eat the center and toss the rest away. It's great.
let's go to...
disgusting, Larry. It's disgusting.
No! That's what I do.
Tony in New Holstein, let's go to you. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Great. Good. Appreciate the call.
Hey, so I grill portobello mushroom caps, and I was looking for some fresh ideas. What I do is I take garlic butter, brush the tops, and then drizzle balsamic on the underside, flip them upside down and put them on the grill, right? Looking for any good ideas to kind of kick them up a notch.
You know, if you want to just you glisten them with a little oil, get them nice and done and nice and tender, turn them cap side up, and then what I'll do is I'll dice up some fresh basil, put it over the top, some nice fresh mozzarella or basil, and then just a real thin slice of tomato, then some mozzarella cheese, and make kind of like a bruschetta, but only with the portobello at the bottom, or pizza sauce, and build your own pizzas on top with mozzarella cheese. That is a lot of things you can do with portobellos. They're delicious on the grill, meaty.
Yeah, they are.
Unlike Merrill, who's needy.
There you go. You know, another thing, since we're talking about mushrooms, my favorite is just taking, make your own homemade teriyaki sauce, but I double the amount of brown sugar.
Yeah.
And then I marinate the mushrooms in that and then grill them direct. And I'll tell you what, make sure you double your order because you'll eat those babies really fast.
Yeah.
We're right in the midst of, the hottest time of the year for morel mushrooms is right now.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever grill morels? I've never grilled morel. I always like to just do them in a little butter in a pan. But
you know, we have cast iron skillets that work darn good on the grill, and we have grilled the morels. We've split them and dipped them in a little Italian dressing, and then put them on the grill and brown them up on both sides real fast, and they come out just wonderful. But you know what? Put them in that gosh darn pan with your butter and your garlic and your lemon and everything else and serve them up. They are delicious, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're wonderful. And I haven't found any yet, but I will.
Keep looking. They're out there.
I think that was a hint to some of your listeners, if I'm not mistaken.
I usually wind up getting a pound or so for my birthday every year on May 14th.
See?
Yeah.
See? Can I tell you the hot item I've been doing lately, and I've been having so much fun, and that's what Grillology is all about, is pickle poppers.
Pickle poppers?
Thank you. You heard of them too, Larry.
Well, I'm very knowledgeable, but for those who don't know anything about pickle poppers...
Everybody does jalapeno poppers, and they're delicious. And I've done a couple of thousand recipes in my daytime. But I'll take you have to find the big kosher pickles, big jar of kosher pickles, where there's about 8 or 12 pickles in a jar, and they're nice-sized pickles. And you take the pickles out, you slice off one of the sides, and you hollow out the pickle. You hollow it out, and you got a neat little pickle boat. And it's everything and anything you ever put in a jalapeno popper, you do the same thing to a pickle popper. So I'll take that pickle, I'll hollow it out, I'll put some pepperoni slices, push them down in, I'll put some cheese curds inside of there, and I'll mummify them in bacon and put them on the grill indirect for about 35 minutes. I've done pineapple ones, I've done cream cheese ones, I've done some with like Merck's cheese in there type of thing, cheese spreads. Pickle poppers, and the pickle stays crispy and firm, and the flavors there of the pickle, but you just taste everything else. Green olives are good in there mixed up with something like cream cheese and stuff. Everyone's got to do pickle poppers this summer.
Merrill, is he crazy, or do they really taste good?
You know what? I thought he was crazy, but when he first did it at one of the stage shows, I'll tell you, I love them. They're absolutely they're great. They really, really, really are great.
Yeah, pickle poppers.
All right, I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind because I've got a jar of those pickles at home in the fridge.
Yep.
Oh, you wait.
Yep.
Dick in Oak Creek has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Dick.
I met one of you guys up at Horicon a couple of years ago. We were over there at demonstrating grills. My question to you, though, is I bought one of these torches. We have a gas grill in our camper, however, and this little torch, it's not butane. You can charge it up. But my question is, it does not fit into the tube, you know, to light the burner. And would it be safe to put it real close to the tube, and use it that way to get the burner lit?
Ooh, I don't know about that one.
I think Larry's an expert on that. Yeah, anytime you're working, did you say it is propane? It's like the little 1 pound cylinder tank, correct? You're just talking a small little grill.
Oh no, it's a silver. I think it's a silver bee or. No,
we have. Okay.
Yeah, 20 pound or 10 pound propane tank.
Yeah. And so for lighting it, the igniter doesn't work, is what you're saying?
No, it doesn't work.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you know, usually on your gas grill, there should be a hole on the side where you could just light a match and just put the match in there, and it'll ignite, or you could go ahead and use something else that's on the fire there. But there should be a hole right along the side there where you could go ahead and stick a match in there.
Yeah.
Just make sure that, you know, the hood's up, you know, when you do it. But once you turn it on, just light the match, the place in there. It should light with no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll look good bald anyway. Larry, how can you sit here and tell that to those people?
I'd use those wooden matches, those longer ones.
Right, there you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. or I'd get a grill with an igniter that works.
Yeah, that's probably what would be the best approach, Dick.
I'm just covering all our butts right now.
Yeah.
Christina in Glenwood City will turn to you next. Hi, Christina.
Glenwood City. Hey, guys. Thank you.
Hi.
I'm celebrating my 35th anniversary tomorrow with Surf and Turf, and I just bought pastured marbled ribeye and wild-caught giant brown shrimp. I've got a Weber grill, and I feel like how fortuitous to speak to the grill guys to make my meal great. What advice have you got for me?
Well, when you find the grill guys that are make your meal great, give us a call.
Yeah.
No, you guys can do it.
How big are those shrimp? Are they like 13 to a pound, or are they 20 to a pound?
The shrimp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, probably, I would say 13.
Big old ones. You know what I would do, honest to goodness? I'd get yourself some good old butcher quality bacon. Nice bacon. Good old bacon. It only takes a couple minutes to cook. And I'd mummify, I'd oil those shrimp up, season them a little bit, and I'd mummify them in bacon, skewer them twice with the toothpick so it holds, and then I would grill the ribeye and the shrimp. And the bacon wrapped shrimp are just phenomenal. They really are.
And are they going to be done at the same time? No, the shrimp would be done faster, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, she's gonna have to start her shrimp indirect method of cooking, and the other burner is going to be on a nice high heat. And after about 7, 8, 10 minutes with the shrimp on indirect, she can start searing her steak on the other side, and then sear them off both together. But she'll get the feel. This lady, Larry. You're not understanding. This lady's a grillologist we're talking to. Just handle it.
Well, Christina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So, do you like what do you like to put on your steak?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I typically do salt and pepper and go rare, medium rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what you need to do is find some of Mad Dog and Merrill's. Go to maddogandmerrill.com. Look at all the stores where our products are. Find Grandma Hazel.
Oh, yes.
Grandma Hazel's the old-fashioned Montrealer steak seasoning. She's phenomenal on steak. She really is, and seafood.
I actually use Grandma's on a lot of different things, vegetables, too, for that matter.
Yeah. That asparagus and green beans we were talking about earlier, she's phenomenal on.
Yeah, so there you go. And maybe a pat of butter right at the end.
Couple pads.
Yeah.
There we go. Hey,
hey!
Happy anniversary, Christina.
Oh,
appreciate your call. You're gonna have a wonderful time. Have you got a dessert?
No. I guess I haven't thought about dessert. I was focused on the real meal.
there you go. Well, you know what? Yeah. You could almost make a dessert out of some grilled fruit.
Shoot, yeah, absolutely. I actually did some pound cake for a television shoot. Was that yesterday, Merrill?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Yesterday we did. I did a beautiful pound cake on the grill. God, it's good.
So you baked a pound cake on the grill?
No. You take. I found mine in the freezer department. That nice lemon pound cake.
Yeah.
And you kind of thought, you know, get it room temperature, and then you cut it into slices, nice 1-inch thick slices. And really, all you have to do is just a medium direct heat, and you sear both sides up until they're just got score marks on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put like a cherry pie filling on top and some Cool Whip. You can do the same thing with Twinkies. You can do the same thing with Angel Food Cake. There's a lot of great little sponge cakes like that you can use. Twinkies on the grill are phenomenal. They really are. You unwrap the Twinkies, please, and just roll them around on a medium direct heat, and they brown up so fast and furious because of the oil content in the sponge cake. And then, seriously, just top them with your favorite fruit toppings or preserves what do you call that stuff? Strawberry shortcake in June, and it's just phenomenal.
I still like grilling fruit, and then I take some yogurt and just use that as a little topping.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And you can use all these different. It looks fancy. It looks like you actually worked hard.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I do that a lot, and people seem to enjoy it. Dan in Hayward has something for us. Hi, Dan.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hey, Dad, how's everything in Hayward?
Well, I got a good story for you. Last week I had my turkey hunting tag, and I went up to the cabin, and I brought along a week's worth of meat to cook on the grill, and I thought, well, I'm going to be busy hunting and fishing, so I'm going to grill up all this stuff, and I'll have it for the week. And I grilled up brats and chicken legs and, you know, just kept the charcoal going and got this big pile of meat. I wrapped it in foil, and I had my couple of brats for dinner that night, and it was nice and cool. So I thought, well, why fire up the refrigerator and plug the electricity in? I'll just wrap the stuff up and put it in the cooler out on the porch with some ice. And so I get up the next morning and let the dog out, and the bear had come and helped himself.
Oh, no.
And I had to go to town and shop and start all over again.
Yep. Isn't that a great thing?
Oh, man.
Live and learn.
Live and learn. I was camping once, Dan, and we were awakened in the middle of the night. It had been raining, and so we had hurriedly put the tent up and didn't put things away like we should have, and I left my cooler out, and we woke up, and there was a very large black bear sitting up, and it had its paws over the top of the grill, and it was biting down on the edge of the cooler, trying to get it open. And fortunately, he was biting on the hinged side, so he couldn't get it open.
We have to lock the cooler on Merrill. I don't know about black bears, but in New London, everybody has to lock their coolers on Merrill.
Well, on that one, the bear came over to the tent and stood up on its hind legs and looked my fishing buddy right in the eye. At that point, I had my knife out, and I was prepared to make a new door in the back of the tent. But the bear dropped and took off on its own, and we were fine.
That's when you call Motel 6 the next day.
Oh, man. I tell you, we had Stu an email. I should take an email here. He's starting to get into using smoke, and he has a good pit grill. And he would like to know what kind of wood to use. He prefers to use wood versus chips in his pit grill.
Okay. One wood, matter of fact, just had done some pork tenderloin yesterday. A type of wood that a lot of people aren't really accustomed to use, which we live in Wisconsin, is I love using cherry wood. Yeah. It really gives off a really good flavor, really nice aroma, and adheres to the meat very, very, very well on there. Big lover of maple wood. Maple is really good. If you take maple wood, especially if you're doing like on a campfire, cook on maple, it's just phenomenal for on the flavor on that.
And people mix also like hickory and apple, so don't be afraid to mix different cuts of wood. But truthfully, it's great to experiment. It really is fun. And going back to the pellet grills, you know, you can buy the different flavored pellets of different woods. And you really can taste the flavors there too. So,
I like that. You need to get that wood needs to be, it needs to burn down a bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, you almost want like a hot coal ash on there when you're cooking with it.
Unless you're using it to just throw in a charcoal grill to smoke, then you just soak it. If it's not green lumber, green wood. Off a tree, then if it's dry, you soak it in a little water and just toss it right on the charcoal if you have a gas grill or a charcoal grill, and that works really good.
So what have you guys got coming up for? Are you doing anything on Memorial Day, or are you going to spend Memorial Day with family?
Both, actually. We're working, but yeah, definitely going to spend Memorial Day with the family and having my both sons over and daughter-in-law and kids, and we're definitely going to actually just going to be doing pork tenderloin sandwiches. Slice them up,
good.
Go ahead and grill them, just rub them with a little bit of oil, season them very well, and slice them real thin for sandwiches.
Well, that sounds good. Mad Dog, what about you?
I don't know when Memorial Day is. Us self-employed people don't keep track of time. What about you, Lee? What are you doing for Memorial Day, for God's sake?
Well, I will be on an airplane, actually.
What?
I'll be coming back from Saskatchewan. I play in a golf tournament up in Canada in the week just prior to Memorial Day, and I'm almost every year I'm on my way back sitting in an airplane on Memorial Day, which is not the best place to be.
Did you ever see Bigfoot up there?
No, but a lot of times when I'm teeing off, I might have an elk 20 yards away from me.
Sure, I bet. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to sit and wait for the Copper River salmon to come from Alaska, and I'm going to grill that. I'm just going to sit and wait.
You know, the salmon is actually something that's pretty easy to grill, isn't it?
You know, it's the most forgiving of all fish because of those great omegas in there, the great oils. Leave the skin on it, glisten it with an oil, put a little gram of hazels on top, slap it skin side down right on the grates of the grill, put the hood down. You don't need to turn it if you don't want to. And it's literally done when the natural juices, the proteins turn white and perk to the top, firm to the touch, 15 minutes, depending on the thickness of that fish. You know, that Copper River is 7 or 8 minutes. Atlantic salmon is 15 minutes, the thicker slabs. But it's the most, and then you can glaze it because it has rich flavors. Glaze it with teriyaki glazes, honey glazes, barbecue sauces, salsas. I mean, you can add things to it. It's phenomenal. It's a great way to start. And then we cedar plank ours a lot too, of course. But
yeah, and that's easy. That's easy as well.
Yeah. And I'm gonna say real fast because I know we're running short of time. I go to Home Depot, Lowe's, or Menards, and I pick up 4 or 6 foot pieces of dog ear cedar fencing, untreated, no green streaks, untreated dog ear cedar fencing. $1.50 or $2 a board, depending on the size, and cut your own planks, submerge them in water, and Christina can take those mummified shrimp, put them right on top of that wet board and cedar plank those for about a half hour. We just did some gorgeous stuff at Rib Fest and also Grill Fest. We were on television both places, and I did some cedar plank stuff that was phenomenal. It'd make you shiver in lust. You'd be lusting over it.
Well,
yeah. I'm going to write a novel. I'm going to write a romance novel on food.
Well, people may be lusting after your website. What's that website again?
MadDogAndMerrill.com. MadDogAndMerrill.com. You can find the stores where our products are available. You can see right where our television show airs each and every week, and you can watch some of our old episodes that are on there. It's a great little website.
Well, it's always fun talking with you guys. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Right. Have a good day.
Happy golfing.
Yeah, Mad Dog and Merrill, the grilling buddies. And they've got a lot of tips on their website as well, maddogandmerrill.com. You can find a lot of good information, and some of their old shows are on there too, their past shows. So it's always fun to look at those shows. And you know what? When you're grilling, you got to keep your eye on the weather a little bit too, because you never know when a storm is going to come up. And sometimes those storms are really dangerous. And sometimes those storms spawn tornadoes. And that's what we're going to be talking about next. We have Brantley Hargrove coming up, and he's written a great book. It's called The Man Who Caught the Storm, The Life of Legendary Tornado Chaser Tim Samaras. It's a fascinating read. And we'll talk about that book next, right here on the Ideas Network.